Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Atlanta-based jazz drummer Jonathan Mills. We got into his new 2022 CD, No Mentions, No Worries, to talk over this collection of attractive post-bopping originals. He attended Georgia State University and earned a master's there in 2015. He's gone on to perform with the likes of George Cables, Grace Kelly, Harold Betters, Greg Abate, and so many others. Enjoy this story.
Jonathan, thank you for taking a minute out today.
Thanks so much for having me. Happy to be here.
It's great. I really enjoy your album, No Mentions, No Worries. And before we get into that, which is so good from my end to see that there's new material coming out from artists, how did you survive COVID? How did you make it through that time period as a musician? And how has it changed you subsequently now that you have an album and live shows and things are picking back up?
Man, well, I think for every creative, that was a big adjustment period, right? Yeah, I went from going into COVID, I was teaching a couple of nights a week, but I was mostly performing. So I had a number of different steady gigs, and I would play 4 to 5 nights a week and then teach twice a week. And fortunately, I had some good relationships teaching, volunteering, and as a specialist in public schools. So obviously, when shutdown happened, all the performance went away, so I just had teaching and everything went online. It was a huge adjustment. I learned a lot about computers, a lot more than I ever wanted to. I'm still frustrated by different things that come up with new updates and things all the time. But yeah, that sort of forced me to really change my perspective and think about like long-term things. Because I think, had you asked me while I was in school, what's your goal, like 5 years out of school, I was meeting that. I was doing that. I was like, I want to play most nights. I want to teach a little bit. And kind of made me realize, like, well, I do need a new long-term goal. I've hit these things. What is next in the long-term trajectory? And I'd always written just to push myself as a composer. And it kind of dawned on me that, like, everyone was doing those, like, quarantine collaboration recordings. And I thought, like, well, I know enough people that could do those that I should, like, clearly I have the time. So I did a single that way, just completely remote. Just to see how it would go. And it was, you know, it was a great experience. I've learned a lot from it. But I also learned there's nothing like playing actually live and really being able to converse. So I can react to what the soloist played, but they can't respond back if we're in a remote situation, you know? So that became kind of the new goal for, like, when it was safe again, to go in and do a larger project that was actually mostly live recorded.
Yeah, and I understand that, and I even feel that now, having the opportunity to go out to see live music. There's just nothing like it, and I can even tell from the musicians, they're very relieved. And along with that is having new material out. No Mentions, No Worries is yours, and I'm curious, how overall does it feel to have this album come out after such a long time of no activity and nothing going on?
Man, it feels great. And on top of that, it feels great to finally get it out, because for me, it was a long process. I mean, we recorded this the first week of January this year. I had some help along the way, but I'm certainly not on the label. So we recorded in the studio here in Atlanta called 800 East, and Marty Kearns is a fantastic engineer who really helped us and also did all the mixes with us too in the mixing session. But I always thought, like, you do a record, you track, then you do the mixing, then you send it away for mastering, and then you're done. And you kind of are, you know, but then I was like, oh, I need to find artwork. And then I need to find someone who can, like, produce the work, so it's like a graphic designer, and then figure out how to promote this thing and have it heard by someone other than you know, just the people I know. So it's been a process, and to finally have it out and to have a good response from people really means the world. I mean, this is music to me should be shared and should be heard and is meant for enjoyment. I love that Art Blakey quote about music washes away the dust of everyday life. That for me is kind of like one of the mantras I try to glean from music, even in my playing. So it's been incredible to have such a positive response. I never expected it to go this well.
So what are you ultimately hoping the listener gets from this album?
Oh, man. Some of the music is definitely a little bit programmatic and has its own story. But I like to not go too deep into those stories, because I find that, like, the listener creates their own journey, I think. Like, it should hit you and hopefully resonate with some part of your life so that you can tell your own story through this, I think. So it's, like I said, like For Hadley's Folks is a very obvious one. I wrote that for my niece, really for my brother and sister-in-law when my niece was born. She was a preemie, and they were in the hospital for more than just a day or two because she was a preemie. So she was in the NICU. And I just remember, like, every time I would talk to them, they were clearly sleep deprived, you know? So I just thought, what can I write that's, like, slow and calming, but not necessarily like a true lullaby, has a little bit of direction to it, you know? But just kind of to reflect that state of mind a little bit. So some of these are definitely programmatic, but I like that some of them can be reinterpreted lots of ways, you know?
Absolutely. So you're based in Atlanta. Talk to me a little bit about, are you originally from Atlanta?
No, sir. I'm from Pittsburgh originally, just outside of Pittsburgh.
Okay. All right. The home of Mary Lou. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, how you got into jazz and how this ultimately became your life.
Yeah, definitely. I think I have a little different of a story. I was a late bloomer. I came to this music a little bit later. A lot of my friends, like, grew up with it and had it in their homes as newborns, you know. And I think it was around, but never the focus from a listening perspective until partway through high school. My private drum teacher at the time turned me on to some Art Blakey and some even Dave Brubeck. And so both of my grandfathers saw that I was getting into their music, you know. So they would take me to see some local shows now and then. And I kind of got my feet wet, but I didn't really know what to listen to next. So I was fortunate. I went to like a jazz camp, like a summer camp for a couple of weeks right before my senior year of high school that really solidified what I should listen to and what I enjoyed myself. And from there, it's just been a long journey. You know, I've been fortunate enough to have tons of great mentors, both in Pittsburgh and here in Atlanta, to really open my ears up and turn me on to some stuff that I wouldn't have otherwise heard.
So what was the first live show that you ever saw that really blew you away?
I saw, and he's still around, I saw this trombonist in Pittsburgh. His name is Harold Betters. And Harold Betters played trombone for kind of everybody. He was on the road with Louis Armstrong at one point. You name it, Harold Betters had played with them. But he played in my hometown. He's in his 90s at this point. And he played my grandfather's high school prom, which I thought was really cool to get to see that same guy.
Wow.
Yeah, and so and to this day, he kind of has his own little arrangement of What a Wonderful World. And he does this thing on the bridge that I really love. It's really easy, but like, it's really simple, but I still just always play the bridge when I can, the same way he does this kind of extra little stops on the bridge.
Very cool. You know, what is it that you like the best about being a professional musician? I mean, it's obviously a process, like you explained, putting this album together, and, you know, there's so many facets to go into this. But what do you look forward to the most? What fuels you?
I think the collaboration. Man, it's really cool. Like, yes, we all play those gigs that are kind of a drag, but I think Atlanta has such a rich inventory of good musicians here that are all into their own thing. So it's really cool just getting to play with different people night after night or week after week. Now that we're kind of coming back from pandemic, we're not fully all the way healed yet, but that's one of my favorite aspects is hearing, you know, like people will say, who's your favorite pianist in Atlanta? And I'm like, I don't know. It depends on the day. Like, who's the last person I heard? That's my favorite right now. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, listeners, but ultimately you live your life. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
Ooh. Who do I think I am? I don't know. I'm just here trying to have some, I'm trying to reflect on some experiences and make an impact that, you know, just to take people out of their everyday. They're like head buried in their phone. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just try to be present in the moment. I don't know what that says about who I am other than I try to, you know, genuinely be there and be present and listen and respond accordingly, which I think, I don't know, maybe I get that from, you know, the music. That's a big part of, anytime I play the best, it's because I've been open enough to, like, let things unfold and develop and then, like, on their own before I force my own thing into it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally it does. Absolutely. So, Jonathan, if anybody wants to pick up No Mentions, No Worries, wants to learn anything about live shows, anything about you, where can they go? Where's the best place?
Sure, yeah. So, Bandcamp always is the best place to purchase for artists. So, my Bandcamp is just Jonathan Mills, artist page on bandcamp.com. Or you can always check out my website, jonathanmillsdrums.com. And Jonathan doesn't have an H at the beginning like a John does. So J-O-N, Jonathan.
Cool. Jonathan, thanks for opening up. Thank you for talking about the music and the album. Good luck with everything.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been my pleasure. Glad to be here.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Atlanta, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Jonathan for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to TheNeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.